verse 12. I need my glasses too. When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer: "Do not think that because you are in the king's house, that you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. But yet who knows that you have come to your royal position for just such a time as this?" Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai: "Go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish." So Mordecai went away and he carried out all of Esther's instructions. On the 3rd day, Esther put on her royal robes and she stood in the inner court of the palace in front of the king's hall. The king was sitting on his royal throne in the hall, facing the entrance. When he saw Queen Esther standing in the court, he was pleased with her, and he held out to her the gold scepter that was in his hand. So Esther approached, and she touched the tip of the scepter. In the New Testament, Acts chapter 8, commencing at verse 26. "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.' So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Kandake, which means queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, 'Go to that chariot and stay near it.' May God add his blessings to the readings from his word."
Good to see you all. Really lovely to see lovely faces. I wasn't sure this morning how many people would be here the first Sunday of the year. Maybe the few folks are on holiday. Happy New Year to you all. If you're visiting with us, and we hope that you have a special service here with us, and chat before you leave. Don't run away quickly afterwards. I'm going to start with a story. When I was assigned to the first church I pastored, I was so excited you could hardly stand me. I'd been a director of Christian education for 17 years and now felt God's call to preach. I stepped into the pulpit ready to be what God was leading me to be, a pastor. The cabinet and bishop sent me to a little church with a congregation of 30 people and a regular attendance of about 18. Didn't dampen my spirits at all. I love a challenge. I'd been there 3 weeks when a member of the church called me and said, "Rosemary, my aunt has fallen and broken her hip. She's 85 and hasn't been able to go to church for some time. She doesn't have a pastor. Would you go to see her?" Oh, would I? I got so excited. My first official pastoral call to a hospital. She gave me the room number at Baptist Hospital and I hurried down. When I pulled into a parking space marked pastor, I saw a security guard running towards me and he was shouting, "You can't park there! You can't park there!" Well, I got out of the car, took out my pastor card and said, "Oh yes I can." Now, you must remember this happened 25 years ago when women pastors were in the birthing stage. That confused security guard walked away angry and he didn't even know me and he was muttering, "What's this world coming to?" Good question, but no time to answer it. I hurried into the hospital and caught the elevator up to the 5th floor and made my way to the room I'd been given. I looked in and there she was, leg up in traction, weight hanging off the end of the bed. I circled the bed and reached in and got her hand and said, "Hi, my name's Rosemary Brown. I've come to see how you're doing today." She smiled and said, "Good." Then I listened to her life story. She'd lived on a large farm with her husband. He died 8 years ago and she couldn't take care of the farm by herself, so she'd moved to Nashville to an assisted living apartment. Then she said, Clumsy old me. I turned around too fast and fell and broke my hip. And here I am, strung up like a convict in chains. Well, I glanced down at my watch, and I'd already been there for 45 minutes. At Bible school, they told me never to stay more than 15 minutes on your first visit to somebody. And here I was, already blown it by 30 minutes. So I thought, oh, I better go now. So I said to her, I held her hand and said, I need to go now. But would you like to have some prayer before I go? Sure, she said, and closed her eyes. I closed mine and began, Dear God, please be with Mrs. Morgan. Then I felt a little tap on my shoulder. I opened one eye and looked at her and she said, My name is Mrs. Jones, dear. Now you can go on with your prayer. I started over, Dear God, please be with Mrs. Jones. When I finished, I leaned over in the bed and hugged her goodbye, knowing that now I was going to have to find the real Mrs. Morgan and start all over again. But as I left the room, a nurse was standing there, and she had tears running down her face. She said, Lady, I don't know who you are, but Mrs. Jones has been in this hospital for 2 weeks, and you're the first visitor she's had. For 45 minutes, I'd been in the wrong room at the right time. You need to know that I visited Mrs. Jones every day after that. God is like that, you know. God will place us where we need to be when we least expect it, and then we are responsible for doing the rest. So that's my topic today. Not like the lady being in the wrong place, but being in the right place at the right time. Now, of course, when we think about that, Jesus is our ultimate example. I love this verse in Romans 5, chapter 6. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. And it's very pertinent we've remembered communion today, at the right time. Not because of anything that we did. It all shows God's love for us. Christ died for the ungodly. Who are the ungodly? All of us. We are. Me, you, all of us, everyone. The person next to you, we're all ungodly. But Jesus died to make a relationship possible with us. So let's move on now to the story of Esther. A little bit of background. The king's name, it's one of those names that's got two X's in it. When you first look at it, you think, how do you say it? I think it's Xerxes. King Xerxes was the leader. And his second in command was a man called Haman. As the second in command, he got lots of privileges, and one of them was the king said everybody had to either kneel down to him or bow down to him and give him honour. You can imagine Haman was pretty pleased. Everybody that saw him had to come and bow to him, and Haman would have been quite chuffed, I think, by that. And one of the king's guards was a man called Mordecai, who was a Jew, and there was a time when some people tried to kill the king, and Mordecai actually saved the king's life, which is great. There's only one problem, though, for Haman. Mordecai refused to bow to him. You'd think just one person not bowing would be okay if everybody else bows. Just one person. But I guess that niggled Haman. He wanted him to bow to him. So he found a way to plot to have all the Jews killed. And Mordecai was a Jew. And Mordecai's cousin was Esther, the new queen. And the only way to save the Jews was for Queen Esther to go to the king and tell him all about Haman's evil plan. As the queen, she was uniquely placed to do that. You couldn't just go to the king when you wanted to. It was quite a special style. You had to be invited. Or if you went, the king had to extend his scepter to you. If he touched it, you're okay. If he didn't, you could die. Literally, you could be killed. So we heard the readings before. Thank you, Nom. I don't want to go over everything before. But just look at the last verse. And who knows, Mordecai's words to Esther, who knows that you've come to your royal position for such a time as this. Amazing how God orchestrated everything together for Esther to be there at the time when she was needed. He's basically saying to Esther, God's put you here. Maybe God's going to use you to be the one to save us, to save all the Jewish people. Just think, the queen and king, you'd think it would be an easy thing. But it's not like the king and queen now. It's a very different situation there. Even the queen had to be invited or given permission to go. So she was very understandably afraid. She was most likely still a teenager at that time. And she was an orphan. She didn't have her parents. And she had been forced almost into being queen. Not her own choice. They were all ordered to go to the king's palace. So not an easy time for her. But she said, okay. Look in the middle there. She said, I'll go to the king, even though it's against the law. And these are very brave words for a teenage girl. If I perish, I perish. If I die, I die. I'm not sure if I could say that. But she was willing to risk her own life. So they prayed and they fasted. And after that 3 days of fasting, the time came to go to the king. Of course, she made herself look pretty. She put on her royal robes. I'm sure lots of makeup and beauty treatments. And then going to the king. Imagine the tension. She must have had a pretty boom, 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 pounding heart. Going to see the king. Is he going to accept me or not? The king was there facing the entrance. When he saw Queen Esther, he was pleased. And held out the scepter and touched it. That meant that she could come. Imagine the relief from Esther. He's not going to kill me. So God put Esther there in the right place at the right time. What was the result? The Jews were saved from certain destruction. It wouldn't have been just the Jews in that area, in the whole kingdom, the Jews would have been killed. And the king protected the Jews and gave them even more rights. They had rights to worship together. They had rights to defend themselves from enemies. It was a wonderful turnaround. And Haman, what happened to him? He was executed. He'd planned to kill them, but God turned things around. To move on from the story of Esther to a totally different question. Do you like chips? Anyone like chips? Yeah, what's your favourite flavour of chips? Sweet chilli chips, huh? Chicken? Plain? Ready salted? Plain? Yeah? When I was in the UK, they had some different flavours to what we had here. We had a Bovril flavour. So it's a little bit like Marmite. As you know, Marmite, you either love it or hate it. Bovril. We don't call them chips in the UK, we call them crisps. Crisps. I was a bit confused here when somebody offered you some crisps and said, do you want some chips? Chips are the hot things. You put salt and vinegar on them. But so Bovril were one of my favourite, but there's another one which I really liked, the prawn cocktail flavour. Have you ever had those in New Zealand? You have? Yeah, so I really like prawn cocktail. So you'll hear about prawn cocktail crisps, not chips, in this video. And just one other comment is about the Holy Ghost. Sometimes we hear the word ghost, we think, oh, that's a bit dodgy, but it's not. The Holy Ghost is just the same meaning as the Holy Spirit in the older translations of the Bible. So I was thinking, we look at Queen Esther's story. God put her in the right place at the right time and used her. That's in the Bible. Surely that doesn't happen now, does it? Let's listen to a testimony. This guy is from Northern Ireland. When they put the video together, they realised kindly that some people might not understand the Northern Irish accent, so there's subtitles. So the guy is speaking English. Okay, it's a little bit long, but I think you'll agree with me. It's really worth it. So you can play that, please, Trish.
It was two nights particularly in the hospital when I honestly didn't know whether I would make it or not. I was under incredible pressure. Got drips up and all that they needed to do. But I remember those nights particularly really crying out to the Lord and asking Him to help me, and asking Him to even supernaturally just do something that would encourage me and bring me through. And I remember the next day I had a night from hell. And you got to understand this in the isolation ward, when no one else can get in, when no one else, no pastor, no friend, no family members, when no one else was allowed in, God sent a cleaner. And all of a sudden this cleaner had come in. and he was like a ray of sunshine. And he began to chat to me, and he asked me how I was. And he began to talk to me and say to me about hanging in there. And then we got chatting and we got talking, and he turned around and he said to me that he was a missionary in Nigeria for 14 years. And he began to tell me how God had saved many, many souls through his ministry. And just this last couple of years, he had found himself back home in Northern Ireland, and he's encouraged my heart. And he's telling me about souls and about the love of Jesus and the love of God. And I'm just sitting going, wow. When God needs to reach you, he knows exactly who is the right person. And in that moment of time, it was a cleaner. No one else could get in. God sent a cleaner. He left that den and he says this as he stood at the door. He says, son, can I pray for you? I says, absolutely. And as he began to pray at the door, he couldn't touch me. As he began to pray at the door, he began to ask God the Holy Ghost to visit me. He began to ask God to heal my body and touch my lungs. He stood at that doorway and he pleaded with God Almighty to spare my life and to continue to use me. And then he left. And what was incredible was that after he left, he periodically would walk past my window and give me a thumbs up. That night, I remember, started to turn around. Could it have been the prayer of a cleaner? That night I began to desire a packet of prawn cocktail crisps, kiddo. And I asked the Lord, because no one could get to me. And I says, Lord, is it possible that you could get me packet of prawn cocktail crisps and a tin of Coke? Because that night I began to turn. The next morning, cleaner came. He brought in a bag, and in that bag, two oranges, a tin of Coke, and a packet of prawn cocktail crisps. Don't tell me that God doesn't know. God knows our every need. He knows every desire. And he just passed the bag through the door. He couldn't come in. He just says it's a gift from the Lord. I sat up. I had them crisps. God is a God, folks, who is personal. He knows the deepest desires of our hearts. He knows what we have need of. I want to encourage you out there today. God knows what you have need of. He knows your heart's desire. He is an incredible Savior. Never underestimate what God can do with you. Like, is that cleaner? You know who you are. If you ever see this, thank you for hearing the voice of God and reaching someone like me. For you that are saved, keep your eyes upon him. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. And for you that doesn't know Jesus Christ, I would encourage you, lift up your eyes and look to heaven. With a cry from your heart, say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and go home justified, just as if you had never sinned. May God bless you. May you know the love of Jesus and the power of the Holy Ghost. What a Savior. Amen.
beautiful? Still makes me cry. I don't know why the healing part I kind of expected, but the crisps, I thought, well, isn't that amazing that God knew exactly what he needed? Of course, healing is more important than crisps, but just a little tiny detail. So isn't that amazing? So God put that cleaner in the right place at the right time. I guess when the cleaner started his day, he wouldn't have had any idea what was going to happen. But he was open to being used by God. What amazing love God has for us, his children. Now the second reading that Norm read for us was about Philip. And it just says, an angel of the Lord said to him, go south to the road, the desert road. I was thinking about that. We've got a desert road in New Zealand. You imagine God saying to you, go to the desert road and wait. No other instructions. Just go to the desert road. And Philip did. And who happened to come along but an important official in a chariot. And then the Holy Spirit said to him, go to that chariot and stay near it. Again, he was open. What was the result of Philip's obedience? That Ethiopian eunuch understood the scriptures. Philip explained to him. He was looking at the scroll. Philip explained to him. And he said, I want to know God. I want to become a Christian. And they were baptized right there. And then he was saved. So once again, God knew exactly and sent somebody to be in the right place at the right time. Now we just had Christmas, and when I saw the Christmas Day message that Andrew prepared, he put the message on Facebook what he was going to talk about, and he was going to use a particular song. And I thought, hey, I want to use that song in my sermon on the 3rd of January. You can't use my song. No, I didn't say that to him, but it's interesting that he used the same song that I was going to use. And Christmas has just passed, but I want to put this in the context of my theme for today. So we know that the wise men or the magi came to Jesus and worshipped him. Andrew Bennett also spoke on them coming the long distance they had to travel. Now, how old was Jesus when the magi came? Yeah, he was near to 2 years old. Sometimes you get the picture of them back next to Jesus at the manger in the little, when he was a little baby, but it wasn't like that. They came when he was much older. Nearly 2 years old. We know that because Herod was planning to kill all the baby boys around 2 years old. And what did they bring? What did they bring to Jesus and to Joseph and to Mary? Frankincense, gold, and myrrh, the three gifts. Again, each of those has a very special significance, which I'm not going to talk about today. But not long after that, Joseph, Mary, and Jesus had to flee to Egypt, because if they hadn't, then Jesus could have been killed. I was thinking, isn't it amazing God sent those men there for different reasons? One was to worship him and acknowledge who he was, but also to provide. Gold and myrrh and frankincense would have been of very high value. And when they fled to Egypt, they would have had an income to get started in their life there. So God knew what would happen to them, and he provided for them. So let's have time for the next video now, Tricia. So this is a song. And it's the Christmas story. Doesn't matter, I know it's January. But I want you to focus especially on the kings, on the three kings or the wise men coming at the end. A little two-year-old, when the wise men arrive and see him. This also made me cry, so tissues ready if you need to. When the king, the leader of the kings or the wise men, sees the little child Jesus, his eyes are full of tears, and he realizes this little boy is the king. Is the Messiah. We don't think of bowing before a two-year-old, but he's the King of Kings.
The family hiding from the storm found no place at the keeper's door. It was for this a child was born. Save a world so cold and hollow. The sleeping town, they did not know that lying in a manger low, a Savior King who had no home has come to heal our sorrows. Is there room in your heart Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart for God to write His story? Shepherds counting sheep at night, do not fear the glory light. You are precious in His sight. God has come to raise the lowly. Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart for God to write His story? You can come as you are, but it may set you apart when you make room in your heart and trade your dreams for His glory. Make room in your heart. Make room in your heart. Mother holds the promise tight. Every wrong will be made right. The road is straight, the burden's light. In His hands He holds tomorrow. Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart for God to write His story? You can come as you are. It may set you apart when you make room in your heart and trade your dreams for His glory. Make room in your heart. Make room in your heart. Make room in your heart. Make room in your heart.
Beautiful. So in the right place at the right time, why did I decide to speak on this topic today? I really want to encourage us at the start of the new year, and may God help us to be open to follow His leading in this coming new year. All of those people were sent because God put them in the right place at the right time, and may God use us in the same way to put us in the right time. The result is always blessing. It's win-win. The one who goes to help is blessed. The one who receives is blessed. So it's a good win-win situation. You might be thinking, can God use me? I'm not anyone special. Answer? 100% yes. God can use you. We're not Queen Esther. I'm glad about that. I'm not Queen Esther. We're not Philip. But each of us is in a unique position. You know people I don't know, and vice versa. We've all got their own particular situation. We interact with a set of people. It could be your friends, your family, your neighbours, your colleagues, people at work, people at school. And God has placed me and you there for a purpose. I'm sure you can all think of times when God has used you. Maybe you've been the one that God has sent to somebody. Or maybe God has sent somebody to you. And the result is always encouragement. I just wanted to, as we come near to the end, think of a couple of real examples known to me. We spoke to some good friends in the UK just before Christmas, and they were telling of us a story. Their son in the UK works for real estate. It was a chain all over the country. His particular branch was doing really well, but the company as a whole was doing badly, so their business decided to close, and he lost his job, which was, of course, really sad. And the family went on holiday to the USA a year ago, pre-COVID, actually 2 years ago now, the end of 2019. And they went to a church, as they do on a Sunday morning, and they shared a prayer request. And our friend said, "Oh, I just lost my job. Could you pray for me? I've been in real estate. Could you pray for me that God will lead me?" He was thinking, should he become self-employed or should he join another real estate company? And there just happened to be in the church that day somebody visiting the church, also like them. And this person had his own real estate business. And he said, "Oh, I'd love to talk to you more. Let's meet up." So the next day, they met up and I think spent 2 or 3 hours together. And he talked him through all the pros and cons of having your own business or being on your own. And that was just such an encouragement to our friend. Now, was that coincidence? I don't think so. God put that person there in the right place. Our friend decided it would be too stressful to have his own business. And he joined another business and is doing very well now, even selling houses during COVID time, which is amazing. And then personal story in... Just have a sip. In 1996, I went to Taiwan for the first time. There was a particular thing that I was struggling with. It doesn't matter what it was. But again, God put someone in the right place. You can see a picture of pizza there. Food's always good. Food's always important. And I remember Sheru, one of her friends, said, "Let's go to a YWAM Christian meeting in the evening." And I thought, ugh. That time, I didn't know any Chinese. I thought, I go to the meeting, the singing would be in Chinese, the message would be in Chinese, the prayers would be in Chinese. I don't really want to go. I'd just sit there and not know what to do. And the friend said, "We'll have pizza on the way." Okay, let's go. So, true. So I went to the meeting, and the meeting was nice. They were singing songs in Chinese, and I enjoyed. And then the message, imagine sitting through a message like 30 minutes, and you don't understand anything of what's going on. I wasn't looking forward to that. And the speakers are always speaking Chinese, but that day, the preacher was an English speaker. Just happened to be an English speaker. From England, eh? Yeah, from England. Yeah? And again, like the crisp or chip flavors, you think of sermon topics. There's thousands and thousands and thousands of sermon topics he could have chosen. He chose the exact issue that I was struggling with to talk about that night. Wow, amazing. Thank you, Lord. God put me and that person together in the right place at the right time. Yeah. Wonderful. The Bible says, "So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them." God knows, my friend, exactly what you need for this moment. As we step into this new year of 2021, God knows exactly what you and I, what we need. He loves us with an everlasting love and promises to take care of us. Sometimes we'll be the ones that God sends to help somebody, and sometimes God will send somebody to us to encourage us. So let's be encouraged as we enter 2021. God is willing to use each one of us, and what an amazing privilege that is. We get to serve, like we saw in the video, bowing down to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Sometimes we will be in the right place at the right time, but other times God will prepare someone to be in the right time, in the right place at the right time for us. So either way, it just shows our Heavenly Father's amazing care. So my friend, today, God knows what you need. He's more than able to help us. I want us to close with a prayer, to pray together. But before we pray, I'll just give you a chance to read it. Sometimes I say, or people say, read a prayer and you pray and you don't get time to think about it. So just have a quick read before we pray, and then we'll all pray together so you know what you're praying. If you don't want to pray, that's fine. Just have a quick read. Can I ask you to stand now then, please? Let's say this as a prayer together, and after this we'll remain standing for our final song. Okay. Heavenly Father, thank you that you love each one of us so much. Thank you that you sent your only Son, Jesus, to die for us. Thank you that you give us your Holy Spirit to lead us. As we start 2021, whatever our circumstances, may we each know your presence with us. Please use us for your purposes. Put us in the right place at the right time, and send others to help us at the right time. We give you all the praise and honor in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So time for our final song now. When I was talking to Kay about what music to include today, I said, oh, how about this song? And Kay said, I've been wanting to do this song for a long time. So it's great. It's beautiful.